media. Let's bring them on in. What's up, buddy? How are you, pal?
What's going on? How you doing?
Oh, man. Good, dude. Good. Just hanging out, you know, building a little radio, watching some Lightning, watching some NFL football, just kind of, you know.
Some bad keeping... football.
I know. It's crazy.
Colts and the Jets. I'll be honest with you. I know people gripe about Thursday night football. I think it's actually been pretty good this season so far. This is like the first kind of like nothing for anybody. I think there's been something to watch on Thursday night. I know the players hate it, and I understand it too, you know, because of the short week and everything else. But for the most part, the games have been pretty good so far.
Yeah, not too shabby, not too bad. I mean, the Bucks played on Monday or Thursday night, beat up on the Jets, so that, you know, that's good and everything. So yeah, I think I do FanDuel and I do the single game one. So, you know, for $5, I can watch any game now, and it's interesting because I have some stake in it. You know, so yeah, it's not bad. It's tight.
Yeah, and you know, Fox wants to keep doing it too, because when the Disney purchase happened, you know, they took a lot of the programming and creative out of Fox's hands, and Fox had even said, "Hey, we're gonna kind of be more event based, reality based." With the Masked Singer, they have that other show where the people are the avatars or whatever, which I said, just call it what it is, like the Ugly Singer. Don't beat around the bush about it. That's what you're doing. But obviously, I think they want a lot of sports on there, too, and Thursday Night Football makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they know what they're doing. They're smart people behind these decisions, you know? You know, what are we, you know? Just low level, you know, comedian and movie critic. I mean, it was, you know, at the end of the day, these people, they're billionaires. They know what they're doing. Jonathan Taylor touchdown.
Isn't it on Amazon too? Thursday Night Football?
Yes, tonight it is. It is, yeah.
Yeah, and Amazon has had the exclusive games. I remember the Cardinals had that exclusive game last year on Amazon as well. I'm pretty sure it's on Thanksgiving, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah,
I like it because that's the only streaming I have right now is Amazon, and I was stoked when I was like, oh, the Bucks game, I can actually watch it on a TV instead of trying to find it, maybe not the most legal manner, you know, on my computer out front. I have a nice big screen, so that was nice, and I think that's a big benefit too, just to have, you know, the extra perk that Amazon has. They have everything at this point. I don't know why anybody doesn't pay the $150 a year or something for the shipping and all the inclusives that come with it, including, you know, even a few Bucks games or something. It's well worth it.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny, Will, is I still run into people to this day that don't realize that how much they have in terms of media with Amazon. I mean, they're using it for something totally different, but I'm like, hey, you know, they got all these like award-winning shows here and movies, and, you know, Coming to America was there, you know, the Borat sequel was there. They're going to keep throwing money at things. I mean, like this weekend, you know, Tom Hanks is on Apple TV in that movie Finch. You know, it's a sci-fi movie from Amblin. Robert Zemeckis directing it. And, I mean, Hanks is a big name, and this is going to be two movies so far on Apple TV+. He had Greyhound, which obviously kind of scooted there because of the pandemic. I have the same feeling, you know, the pandemic probably drove this one a little bit in that direction as well, especially, you know, since it was an Amblin film. I thought it was okay. I mean, it's an apocalyptic movie about a guy who's, like, living on the apocalypse after a solar flare, and it's basically like a huge dust bowl in America. And he builds a robot, and him, the robot, and the dog decide they're going to take a road trip to kind of get out of St. Louis, that some bad things are happening to California. It's all about what they do. But listen, I think the potential's there. Everything's, you know, everything's lined up. Tom Hanks involved, good special effects. But he just doesn't take that next step to be something great or something special. Like I said, not a bad movie, but, you know, not something I'm going to ride home about. But, yeah, I mean, streaming's big. I mean, even Disney Plus, I mean, they were putting a lot of movies, you know, on Disney Plus, you know, whether to pay for them or even just, you know, unloading them there. But I think after what happened with Scarlett Johansson with the, you know, with all, you know, with the suing and back and forth, the legal stuff, I think they were like, no, let's put it back in theaters. I think we can draw a crowd, you know, and I think this weekend's going to be a test for them because, you know, we've talked about this with the Eternals. You know, they're not even like a D-list superheroes. I mean, they're more like the E-list. And I'm a Marvel guy.
Yeah.
And I also have said all along that I wasn't excited to see it. I didn't think that this was, you know, something that was going to connect with audiences. That's just how I felt going in, just trying not to be too biased because I do love Marvel. And, I thought this was kind of going to be a little bit of a test for him. Now you've got critics just killing it, too. I can tell you, Johnny, I am not one of those critics killing it. When I saw it, I walked away from it thinking, man, this is a pleasant surprise. I wasn't expecting this to be good at all. And I really liked it. I will say this. It's the most non-MCU movie in the MCU. I mean, besides a couple of, like, name drops of some of those familiar heroes, it could be its own movie on its own. It just happens to live in that universe. So, I don't know, maybe some people's expectations get thrown off a little bit because how far we are down the road with the MCU, you know, they're expecting kind of have crossover-type movies like we're going to see with Spider-Man coming up here, or even we've seen with Avengers films, and they want something that's more of a crossover. And maybe when you get back to that kind of solitary story, it doesn't work. But I will say this. The critics, some of the things they're ripping Eternals for, I'm like, you guys praise Dune, and Dune does all these bad things. Just boring.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's hard to figure out sometimes. But for me, man, I thought the Eternals was great. I mean, it's a cool, epic superhero film that, like, I mean, starts, like, at the, you know, the beginning of civilization for man, and then goes all the way to the modern day. And the cast is loaded. I mean, Richard Madden, Angelina Jolie, Salma Hayek. I mean, there are tons of people in that movie. I mean, even Kit Harington's in it with a small role.
Nice.
So the ensemble cast is huge, but it is more of a, I would say, deeper superhero movie, if that makes sense. It's not as, you know, kind of a jolly kind of Spider-Man type movie. It's a little deeper. Maybe that turns some people off. And I will, you know, tell some people, you know, you can't take your kids to this. I mean, don't expect like your regular run-of-the-mill superhero movie. It's more of like an adult-themed superhero movie, but I like that it was more adult-themed, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah, it is interesting. I'm glad it does stand on its own because I was a little worried because I'm so far behind now on everything. Like I haven't seen Shang-Chi, I haven't seen Black Widow. You know, I got to start catching up on some of the MCU. But I really was interested in Eternals because the trailer looks good. And then when I saw your tweet a few days ago and you were like, I was surprised by it, I was like, okay, now I really want to see it.
Yeah, I really was. I saw it on IMAX, too. I mean, big, huge, you know, screens, and you're meant to see it on a big screen. I will say it does carry a heavy running time, about 2 hours and 30 minutes. But I didn't think it felt long. I mean, it didn't feel as long as Doom, you know, felt. I mean, I thought Dune, I mean, that just dragged at times. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot that happened. Then I was worried about a lot of exposition in this movie because they were introducing a whole new group of heroes. But like you said, Johnny, how you said you were behind, I could tell you this right now. I've never seen an MCU movie. You could go watch that movie, Eternals, and still like it just because it does stand on its own so much. It could almost introduce new people to the MCU. We're like, oh, I want to see what this other stuff about. Like I said, just a couple of name drops and some mentions about maybe why they didn't get involved when Thanos was doing stuff. You know, they had a reason why they didn't get involved, you know. But beyond that, I mean, it's a big cast. I mean, come on, Johnny, who I love from Silicon Valley, he has a great role in it. I think everybody in this big cast finds a way to stand out and shine. And I always think that's a good thing in an ensemble because sometimes people just get swallowed up in these big casts. It just happens. I mean, certain characters get certain attention and focus in the storyline. But I think everybody makes the most out of their time. And yeah, I really liked Eternals. I am surprised to see, like, the critics crushing it. And I'm waiting to see how the regular folk react to it. And it's also going to be a test for the Marvel brand, too, Johnny, because it's not getting good reviews. Like I said, these are D-list superheroes. You're not real known. So how well is that brand going to work? It seemed to work with Shang-Chi a lot because that was another unknown hero, but I also think that was tapping into an audience that was craving to see representation, and they showed up in a big way, and I think that's important.
TM, if you wanted to, let's say you missed a lot of the first round of the Marvel movies and you went to, could you just start out with this one and the phase two and pretty much know what's going on and not be lost?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think the Thanos stuff is, you know, the most, you know, when they talk about, you know, the snap and, you know, maybe why they didn't get involved, if they've been here forever, there was some reasoning why. But, yeah, it stands alone. And like I said, Will, that may be some reason why people aren't liking it because they do want the crossovers. They do want more connections to everyone, everything else. And I think in this next phase, this will connect to these movies. I just think people don't realize in some ways we're getting a little bit of a reboot in the MCU. If you're paying attention in their storylines, like the Avengers basically don't exist anymore in their story. Now, I think they're all going to come back and get together, and we're going to see a new team. But I think when, you know, stars like Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. walk away from this overall franchise, you have to kind of regroup and, you know, reconfigure how you're going to tell your story. And I think they're doing it. And I've also think they've done some right things, you know, casting young with Tom Holland. I think bringing in somebody like Benedict Cumberbatch, who's a really good actor who can kind of maybe fill into that role of some of these people gone. And there's a couple secret scenes in Eternal with one very big, well-known star, I can say, who's multi-talented. I don't want to spoil too much, it's out there who it is, but I think adding maybe a young new face for the new generation helps too. I mean, it's nice, you know, we had stars, Johnny, like Robert Downey Jr. and everyone else involved in these Sam Jackson, but, you know, Listen, these movies have been around forever. You can't age yourself out in a franchise. You got to keep getting young.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way, you know, it's, I'm finding it more daunting, but you know, I'll figure it out. Every time I think I'm going to catch up on the MCU stuff, I end up watching something else. I just started a new series. Well, it's not new. It's new to me. Succession. I just started. I'm 5 episodes into season 1, and now it has me. I got to go through 3 seasons of that crap. I don't have enough time, man. You know, I'm researching tsunamis. I don't know what's going on, and now there's all these movies coming out.
Coming to get us.
You know what I mean, man? What's happening right now? Richard.
I will tell you, I started a new show as well on Hulu that I just heard too many good things about, and it has 2 people in it who I really like a lot, and that's Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, yes.
And Martin Short.
Selena Gomez is in it.
And I will say this about Selena Gomez. Fantastic in it. Really, really, really good. And you would think a show with Martin Short, Steve Martin, and Selena Gomez, like, well, that's kind of a weird, you know, casting right there with those 3. But that's what actually works about it, because they're, like, old, and she's, you know, young and kind of hip, so they kind of understand each other. Like, there's one part where she's trying to teach them how to text, and they're, like, writing their names, their full names, and, like, love at the end of text. Sincerely.
Nice.
You don't know how to do it. So, but it's also, you know, a cool, you know, murder mystery type show. It's unique, it's weird, it's quirky, but it really works. And yeah, that's a good one. And yeah, I do agree with you. There's just, like, we've talked about this, there's just so many options, and there's even more options now you with movies. Like, so in 2 weeks, we'll get King Richard in theaters, and that's Will Smith's movie about Richard Williams, who was Venus and Serena Williams' dad. But we're also going to get that on HBO Max as well. So you have that option to go see it in the theater, but you also have that option to watch it at home too.
Nice.
And I got to see this early. I'm allowed to talk about this early, which is good. And I will say that Will Smith's going to find himself in the best actor. He's really good as Richard Williams. And, I mean, if you know anything about Richard Williams, you know, he's a different dude.
Yeah.
He is out there. You know, he was very much, you know, loving the spotlight at times. And, you know, what he did with his daughters is incredible. I mean, I've always said, you know, 100 times out of one time out of a million, it works. But all those other times it was going to fail. He made it work. And he did it his way. And whether you liked his way or not, at the end of the day, what he set out to do was right. And I think that Will Smith is just excellent, because there are times where you do root for this guy, but there's other times you're just frustrated with him. You scratch your head at him. You're almost annoyed with him. But at the end of the day, you got to almost, you know, give him a hand because of what he pulled off. I mean, these are 2 kids from Compton learning how to play tennis, where, like, tennis just wasn't happening. And that's part of that story, too, about how people viewed them just because they were African-American and just wouldn't even, you know, think twice about even, you know, giving them a chance. But then, you know, he kind of sees that world on his own of the tennis stars and juniors. And, you know, he doesn't think that's such a nice world either. I mean, it's an interesting story about a father trying to, you know, make his daughters stars, but also in some ways protect them at the same way and not let them turn out like Jennifer Capriati, who's almost a focus of the film without being in the film, because we all know how that turned out for Capriati. It didn't end well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, okay, so so far it's been nothing but good. Is there something we shouldn't watch? Is there something that you have been disappointed in?
Well, like I said, I mean, I wasn't in love with Finch on Apple TV Plus. I mean, I like Tom Hanks, and I think if Tom Hanks wasn't in it, it'd be unwatchable, to be honest with you. And, you know, the robot stuff is really good too, but I just think it didn't take that next step to be something special. You know, no, I can't really complain, because I did enjoy the Eternals a lot. You know, we're getting into that part of the movie season too, Johnny, where – I think we're going to kind of see some Oscar contenders again in some bigger films. And I think King Richard's one of the first ones to at least, you know, show off what the acting is with Will Smith, because, you know, I think we forget sometimes that he's not just an action star. I mean, Pursuit of Happiness, Ali, Six Degrees of Separation. I mean, and even 7 Pounds, which just is a horribly depressing movie. It's just a tough mm-hmm. watch. I'd never want to watch it again. But still, Will Smith, a very good actor in all of those roles.
Yeah, yeah, he is really, really good. I mean, he was showing acting chops even with the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air back in the day. So
sure.
we knew he was going to end up, you know, being pretty good. But yeah, I think after Ali is when he really started, you know, spreading his wings and really showing what he could do. And yeah, it looks pretty doggone good, TM. Now, you haven't seen Ghostbusters yet, right?
No, I have not. And I have a feeling that's why they're letting us talk about King Richard early, is because it's going to go against Ghostbusters. I'm hoping that Sony screens it for us in our market. I really do. They've been staying away from the Tampa market for whatever reason, so that concerns me, A, for Ghostbusters, and then B, for Spider-Man in December. Like, those are two big, really big movies I would love to be able to see, you know? I mean, I'll go back and see them in the movies if they don't. But, yeah, it'd be nice to see them. But I think, you know, that's one that a lot of people have their eyes on. But, hey, listen, if I was Sony, I wouldn't be holding back this film. I'd be making sure people see it because, listen, as much as Ghostbusters is this big, iconic kind of pop culture symbol, it hadn't been a good run in these movies those last couple of times. I mean, Ghostbusters 2 all those years ago pretty much ended it, you know, for a while. And then, you know, the Women Ghostbusters film, the remake, you know, it just did not connect with audiences like they wanted it to. It just wasn't going to, obviously, and now they've rechanged it. So I think it's important for Sony to get this franchise back up and going, because I've said, you know, for a long time, there is no reason whatsoever Ghostbusters should have sat on the shelf as long as it did. I mean, it's just too good of a franchise to just leave it dormant. And, you know, I think when people are talking about Disney buying Sony at one point, I think that was something a lot of people looked at thinking about, listen, for better or for worse, I mean, I think Disney could do a lot with Ghostbusters. I'm sorry. So to me, Sony, get up. Get this, you know, franchise back up and going, because it can really be a cash cow for you if you want it to be.
It looks great. I mean, this trailer, you know, I mean, it looks like it's going to be a mega hit. It really does. So I'm excited about it. I haven't been excited about a movie in a while.
And that's what I think is a good thing, is there's, you know, right off the bat when they did the whole gender swap thing, it just, you know, turned off a certain group of the audience. And so no matter what, if people were excited for it, they were going to have enough people screaming that they didn't like it.
Can I interject for a second? Was it that the movie wasn't good? Is that a possibility, and maybe it has nothing to do with the women cast?
Oh, it started with the women cast. I mean, well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, people lost their minds. And I one time said when I had the show, you know, because people were getting upset with me, especially like the local Ghostbusters. I was like, guys, I'm trying to talk to you about this for like a marketing standpoint. Like, you've automatically like messed with something people think are sacred material. I also had women on that show in a segment, and I had women who said they didn't like that idea.
Okay,
it's more of just messing with that material in a way. And I made the comment, I wasn't really trying to be mean, but I said, you know, if you remake Coming to America with James Franco and Seth Rogen, I have a feeling a certain group of people would be upset.
Yeah.
I do. Mm-hmm.
I just remember.
Sorry.
Remember that new Charlie's Angels, the remake of the remake of the remake or whatever it was, that with that blonde lady from, what's her name? The chick.
A couple
from,
years ago.
Elizabeth Banks. Kristen Stewart was in it, too. Yeah.
Yes. And they accused people of not liking it because it's sexist, but the one with Drew Barrymore did great. And the original did great. So, but they accused everyone of not liking it because they're ladies that are kicking ass. And it's just like, can you stop? Please stop with this? You know, but that's, you know, I'm always complaining about this stuff.
I love girls in
Ghostbusters. The remake of Ghostbusters is Kristen Wiig, you know, is very, very funny. Melissa McCarthy, very, very funny. You know, Kate McKinnon, maybe the funniest one out of them. So it wasn't like they just threw together, you know, they had a good cast. I just think that direction and story, it's just a little shaky at times. Like I said, I've always said about that remake, I think it's an okay film. If you're going to compare it to Ghostbusters, oh man, you're out of luck there. And it pales in comparison, but I don't think it's like a terrible film. I saw way worse films that year. And I was just like, okay, you know, this is fine. It's not the disaster I thought it was going to be. But at the same time, I just think there was a large group of the audience that had made up their mind before that movie even came out. Maybe I was even guilty of that.
And they also got kind of antagonized. I saw Paul Feig, you know, poking people, saying, if you don't like this, it's because you're a sexist. And you're like, okay, right. Well, hold on a second. You know what I mean? Like, we have to see it first. So they kind of started it. And then I think everybody went, oh, yeah? Is that true? You know what? This movie stinks. And then they went ahead and trashed it on IMDb. So there's a lot of different factors that go into it. But when I hear just that, oh, they don't like it because ladies are in it, it's like, that's just not true. There's plenty of things where women are in that people like.
I didn't like it because of the disconnect.
The reconnecting is my – Johnny, I've brought this up many times. My issue was never, ever the women. My issue was not connecting to the source material. You could have done a reboot. You could have done a passing of the torch with those women. I wouldn't have cared if they were all their daughters.
That's what I wanted. Yeah, if that would have been the storyline, I would have been way more into it. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was the fact that they didn't choose to connect. And listen, No Time to Die, they just pulled off something where they had a female 007. It wasn't like it was shoved down her throat. It actually really worked well, and that character was great, how they worked her into the story. I've always said, just don't try to force it. Let it happen organically. I don't think people realize, like, how, like, the last Star Wars films, that's a little bit of a gender swap, too, because it's all about Rey. It's not about Luke this time around. And even popular Marvel shows like WandaVision, that's a female-led show that everyone was into going crazy for. And actually, not just Elizabeth Olsen. Catherine Hahn got a lot of praise in that film, too, so she was carrying as well. So, but I hate to say it, I do think there's a certain type of audience where if you ever try to switch anything, listen, I saw it happening in comic fandom, too, when Michael B. Jordan, a fantastic actor, a great actor, but was cast as the Human Torch, people did not like that. And I mean,
so weird.
Did not like that. They hold expectations of how things are, and they don't want to let go of it. But at the same time, they're hypocrites, because when I was a kid, Nick Fury was an old white guy that looked like David Hasselhoff. Now all I can think of in Nick Fury is Samuel Jackson. So don't always put two on it, because sometimes it works for the better.
That is true. That is true. I remember speaking of forcing when it comes to the female thing. I always think of like the one scene of a movie in the last few years where it was so obviously forced was that that end game, that final fight scene when all of a sudden it's like all the ladies show up. And goddamn Pepper Potts is in an Iron Man suit. Yeah. And they're like, we got it from here, boys. And I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me with this one. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah,
and the whole thing I've said about that scene is it wasn't needed, because you could have just had the women out there, you know, kicking ass and doing it. You literally had it with Captain Marvel where they're all like, you're in trouble now. You know, the most powerful one coming down there. I don't think you needed to force that scene. And there's been talk lately that some of the test audiences did not like that scene because they felt it was forced. And I mean, if you're asking me my personal opinion about it, I love Marvel, but that scene is definitely seemed a little forced. Cause like, I mean, I've heard females tell me like, what was up with that scene?
we don't need to be coddled. You know what I mean? Like, let it happen organically. Let it happen naturally.
Those heroes are awesome how they are. We don't need them to all group up to show that. I don't understand why there was a need for that, because I think we already knew how badass and awesome they were.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. Like I said, but when it's forced, and it's that obvious, I think everybody is turned off by it. And that's including women or, you know, anybody. Even, you know, there's, you know, with other things, too. With, you know, transgender, I see there's some stuff where they're kind of cramming it in and forcing it and stuff. And instead of just letting it kind of happen, you know, which, you know, I'm all about that, too. You know, it's just, it seems like, you know, you don't want to overreach, because then you make grown people.